You know, when God chose to come to earth as a baby boy, he really gave his love, what I would say, outside the box, outside the expected. And that's why our theme for this season, this year, is giving outside the box. And last week, everyone who was here received a small box. And inside was a challenge, a giving challenge. And there were five different challenges, and you were asked to do them. Now, mine in particular was to call a cashier or a server at a restaurant by name and engage in that person. And so I was able to do that this week at Dollar Tree. And I was in Dollar Tree buying some items for one of the giving boxes that I'm going to talk about in a little while. And there's a woman, it's a King City Dollar Tree, if you're ever in there. There's a woman whose name tag says Kelly. And I remember her from months ago because I paid with my debit card. And she looked at it and she said, "My name's Carlene." And it's not a normal name. Let me just say that. I'm going to say it that way. It's a very unusual name. And I looked at her tag and I'm like, "It says Kelly." And she flipped it over and it said Carlene. So I was in there the other day and there was Kelly. And I stopped and I said, "You're Carlene." And she kind of looked at me like, "What?" And so we had a really nice conversation. She said, "Oh, yeah, I remember." And we spell her name the same way. So that was my way of engaging with someone who was in the service industry and just you know, having a conversation with them, thanking them for serving. I also met another cashier that very same day, and I could tell you exactly what she's getting each one of her kids and grandchildren for Christmas if you want me to, but I think we'll pass. But what I do want to do is start this sermon time hearing about your experiences. If you remembered what was on your challenge, and if you were able to carry that out this week as a way of giving outside the box, because sometimes this time of year, we get a little focused inwardly. We focus inside our little boxes, inside our little spaces. You know what makes me happy, too, is to see all the knitting going on. That makes me really happy. You know, crocheting, knitting, whatever you guys are doing. I think maybe you are all crocheting. Crocheting? I'm crocheting. Oh, okay. Well, whatever you're doing with yarn makes me really happy because we gave away all of our scarves and all of our hats just a few weeks ago. We went out to Hillsboro and walked around and gave them out to people who needed them, plus socks and some other things. So we are getting our next supply so that we can do that again. Well, we are again going to have this same challenge this week. And in fact, every week during Advent. So I'm going to ask Joanne and Gail to go ahead and pass out some more little boxes. And I would just ask you to hold them. And we will open all of our boxes at the same time. And even people who might be in back get boxes too. There's no escaping. So these are five different challenges this week. And if everyone has their box, go ahead and open it. And let's just share what the different challenges are. And then next week, we're going to do the same thing. And we're going to share what we did that was outside the box giving, purposefully, giving love without a hook on it. Does anybody want to share what theirs says? Give someone a hug or a compliment. Great. Give a treat to your postal carrier. People don't do that often enough anymore. Okay, let's do it. Buy a friend or colleague a cup of coffee or tea. We have any more? Hide a happy note for someone to find. That's the one I got too. Donate a Christmas present to charity. So those are our challenges. And we're looking forward to next week when we can share about how those things went. We are reusing the boxes. You can take them if you want. I bought plenty. But if you want to, we can recycle them. But like not right now, we can give them on our way out. I do want to mention that there are several ways that we're giving outside the box this Advent season. First of all, it is our Giving Outside the Box challenge. So every week, and sometimes it's going to stretch us outside of our comfort zone. But let's try it. Let's do it. Let's take that idea of walking in love wherever we go and apply it during this season where there's such a hustle and bustle that sometimes we forget to pay attention to people around us. The other thing we're doing are boxes for foster kids. And there's brochures on the back table that say welcome box. Now, we talked about this in depth last week, and earlier in November we talked about it, but I wanted to show you an example of one of the boxes. Here's one of the boxes that we are getting, and you get to choose a boy or a girl. You get to choose the age range. This tells you the essentials that should go in a box, and as well as options to fill up your box. And some of these boxes, in fact, that came in today came from Gail Zimmerman's high school students. So that's really exciting, isn't it? It's so cool when we can impact the kingdom of God beyond just what we do here as a church community. So that's something that we're going to be doing. And if you have questions about that, you get to ask Joanne or Jan. Raise your hand. And they are collecting these boxes here, and they will take them to DHS to be used for foster children. Another thing we are doing is a reverse Advent calendar. And if you were not here last week, it's okay, because you can catch up. What this is that every day of the month through December 24th, through Advent, you're going to put some food in a box. So you need a biggish box. And December 1st was a box of cereal. December 2nd was a jar of peanut butter. And then you're going to take that box. You're going to do this part yourself. We're not collecting the boxes here. You're going to take that box to the food bank. Or I also have a feeling that the gleaners would be happy to accept these boxes. But we're not going to bring them all here and expect Heather to haul them away. You get to take them on a Saturday and give them to Heather or the gleaners. But anyway, these as well are on the back table. Put this on your refrigerator. Better yet, put it in your car, because it's your shopping list to add things every time to Advent. So we have boxes, all sorts of boxes. Giving box, foster kids box, box full of food. The other thing I'm going to challenge you with, we're challenging ourselves with, you're going to find in your programs. And if you open your program, and if you don't have one, go ahead and raise your hand and we'll get one to you. But if you open your program, you're going to find a piece of paper that says 2020 short-term mission trips. 2020 short-term mission trips. Now, this is not a literal box. This is an out-of-our-comfort-zone box challenge. Let's pray about whether God wants us to go on a mission trip. Individually, I mean, because we partner with Mission Catalyst. And Mission Catalyst brings smaller churches together and puts together mission trips. And this lists many options. The one that we've gone on year after year for the last 5 or 6 years is the one to the Dominican Republic. And I believe we'll have more people going on that one this year. But there's other opportunities. So I would challenge you to pray about this and try to pray without your own ideas and prejudice, thinking, I couldn't afford that, or, oh, I couldn't take off that much time from work. There's always something that we could come up with that we could decide, nah, God's not going to want me to do this. Oh, but wait. God wants us to give outside the box. And as you pray, if he lays it on your heart, then we get to trust. And we get to come together as a church family and support each other in a mission trip. So those are the four ways that we are giving outside the box this Advent season. And I'm excited about those ways, because I think that it is a good reminder for how Jesus shook up the world coming as a baby, which was definitely outside the box of what was expected. This is the second week of Advent, and this is the week where we focus on peace. We have a Sunday evening intercessory prayer group. We pray for prayer requests that we actually write down on our connection cards. We pray for our leaders in our nation and amongst our church leaders. We pray however God leads us, but we intercede in this prayer group. And last week I had a really interesting experience because I was sitting there more contemplative, and God showed me, it was kind of a combination of a vision and a message from him. And he showed me Jesus just lying down. And his message to me was, it's okay for you to lie down and rest. And I'm going to be here with you while you rest. You don't have to keep pushing yourself. You don't have to keep having really high expectations for yourself that are beyond what you can do right now. And basically, God just said to me, rest, and I'm going to stay right beside you as you rest. And when you're ready to get up, I will get up with you and help you to be able to do that. Now, some of you know that this is kind of my first holiday season without my husband. He died last October. Yes, last year was my first Christmas without him. I don't remember it. God has a great way of allowing us to cope, because he lets us go into shock. I have no memory of this time of year at all last year. So in a way, this is my first time. And when I crossed that year threshold as a widow, I was hard on myself, because I kind of removed the grace from my own self, from my own life. And I had expectations that I thought I better live up to. My grace is running out. I better get going with life again. I have no idea, you guys, who I'm going to be once I get through this time of grief. Figure out, how am I to be as a single woman? How am I to be as a single pastor? I don't know. But I've certainly been trying hard. I've been trying hard to pretend I knew. And God came to me last week, and he just said, listen, rest. Rest, and I'm going to be here with you. And when you're ready to get up, I'm going to get up with you. And as he said that to me, I had the warmest embrace. My heart, my chest felt so much better, so much lighter than it's felt for so long. And even talking about it now, I feel that same feeling. It's a feeling of peace. And every time I've thought of it this week, I felt that peace. It's that assurance of, I mean, I know I'm an overachiever. I know I push myself. I know that I don't measure up to my own standards. But I measure up to what God wants me to if I allow him to be my peace. And when I allow him to be my peace, the peace that we focus on this second week of Advent is the peace that only God can give us. It's that kind of peace that helps us be able to breathe more deeply, to feel more warmth just inside of our own heart for other people, for God, but even for ourselves. So as is our tradition during Advent, I'm going to ask Murray and Cody to come up and have them read the Advent scripture and light the Advent candle.
Okay. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.
Thank you for the reading of God's word. May God bless the reading of his word. Now, they read from the passage in Luke chapter 1 about the announcement that the angel Gabriel brought to Mary. It's referred to as the Annunciation. And that chapter goes on. That chapter goes on to say this. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she, who was called barren, is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This scripture is a small, deep pool that we could dive into and spend time in for the longest time. Today, hopefully, we will at least brush the bottom of this pool, if we're lucky. Christ is not an ordinary being, because he was not conceived in the ordinary way. This passage certainly confirms his divinity. It points to the fact that God indeed is his Father. It calls him the Son of God. It refers to him as the Son of the Most High. Now, Mary asks a question, and it's a good one. She says, "How can this be?" And the angel Gabriel answers and says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Now, Luke is very intentional to use this particular language when he says coming upon, because this is the same wording that Luke uses in the book of Acts when he talks about the Spirit coming upon the disciples at Pentecost. When the disciples were in the upper room and they were waiting, the word that Luke uses is the exact same word he uses here to describe the Spirit of God coming upon Mary. That same Spirit came upon the disciples, and they were filled with the power of God. They were enabled to preach in every language and to prophesy in languages that others understood, but they had never learned. So Christ's conception is somewhat similar, but it's even more powerful. It's brought about by the same creative power that filled Mary so fully, that she is not only able to preach the word of God, but she's also able to conceive and give birth to the word of God. Now, not only did the angel say that the Spirit would come upon Mary, he also said that the Spirit would overshadow Mary. Now, the idea of being overshadowed can seem kind of ominous to us. In the Old Testament, though, this was very familiar language. And it's so important to us as we read the Bible to recognize how what we read, especially in the New Testament, what we read of the New Covenant, had such meaning to the people who were hearing the teaching that was done by those who wrote the New Testament. You see, when they heard the word overshadowed, they remembered what was written in Exodus. about the tabernacle. And that had meaning to them because they were Jews, some converting to Christianity, but certainly hearing from this band of people who were now believers in Christ. And they recognized this same idea of overshadowed from their past studies. It's in Exodus 40. And Exodus 40 ends with these two verses. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could no longer enter the tabernacle because the cloud had settled down over it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. With this, we find the same Greek word for overshadowing of Mary as was used when God's presence filled the tabernacle. Just as God's glory and presence filled the tabernacle in the old covenant, now in the new covenant, God's glory fills Mary with his presence and his grace. Mary is the new tabernacle. Mary is the new tabernacle. It's the ushering in of the new covenant. She's the ark. She is the ark that holds the new covenant. The tabernacle in Moses' day held the ark of the covenant that held the stone tablets with the laws on it. God's spirit so filled that place. There was a cloud that descended upon it to the point that Moses could not enter when that overshadowing took place. Mary now holds within her the promised one, the new covenant. So we have here a continuation, but also a deepening of God's presence among all of humanity. Instead of the cloud, we have Jesus in the flesh, incarnate. And instead of a beautiful, costly building, we have Mary, the new tabernacle, a woman, not simply a beautiful and costly object, but an active participant in the work of the redemption of humankind. God is not working solo. Mary is the other party in this conception of Jesus. Now, certainly, God has the power to create a human form out of nothing. We know that. We've read Genesis. We have studied Genesis. We are fully aware that if God wanted to come in flesh, incarnate, he has the power, he has the wherewithal, he has the ability to do that. But that was not the route he chose this time. Instead, he chose to take his human nature from humanity. Jesus is divine, yes. God is his Father, but he is also human. And his humanity comes to him like it does to the rest of us from humanity. Jesus has a mother, and he receives his humanity from her, from Mary. He is truly human. He is truly one of us. Now, in the year 400 AD, a man named Saint Athanasius lived, and he wrote some words that we're going to read off of the screen. And the thing that I find so interesting is that this rings true to the core of our Christian beliefs 1,600 years ago, as much as it rings true to our core beliefs today. He says, within the Virgin, he built himself a temple, that is, a body. He made it his own instrument in which to dwell and to reveal himself. God incarnate. It's with this knowledge that we can link the Annunciation, the Incarnation, and the work God does in our lives to the peace that is ours through Advent and manifest in our Christian lives. Now, here at New Vision, we've been focusing closely on prayer this entire year, 2019. And it's through prayer that we desire to draw closer to God and have God draw closer to us. There's a cooperative relationship in prayer. You see a little bit of a parallel there? There's a cooperative relationship in Jesus coming to earth. God coming upon, overshadowing, and Mary receiving that which God is giving. A cooperative relationship that brings about a change in history. The same cooperative relationship can be seen when we come to God in prayer. See, the coming upon of the Holy Spirit is what we experience really when we accept Jesus as our Savior. He changes our hearts and he changes our lives because we confess him as our Savior and our Lord. And then we're gifted by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And one might say that we are almost overshadowed by the Spirit as it dwells within the lives and hearts of each believer. Our bodies are a temple, not only because we're made in God's image, but because the Holy Spirit dwells within. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, we read this. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. It's from this cooperative stance that we come to God in prayer. And it's through prayer that we connect to God in a way that we discover and know a peace that surpasses our ability to understand. Now, why do we pray? Do we pray in an attempt to change God's mind? Or do we pray in an attempt to change ours to one of cooperation with God? Look at this quote from John Ortberg about peace. It says, peace does not lie in getting God to give me other circumstances. Peace lies in finding God in these circumstances. This speaks to me, you guys. Just last Sunday night, in fact, actually for months now, I want God to change my circumstances. I dream about that. There was one morning that I woke up and I heard my dog breathing, and for a split second, I thought it was my husband. I want God to change my circumstances. Yet last week, he came upon me and he said to me, I can't change your circumstances, but you can find me in your circumstances, because peace lies in finding God in these circumstances. Literally, he showed me Jesus lying down and saying, will you not lie with me and get the rest you need and the restoration so that we can get up together? That is true peace. Jesus taught us to pray, and he taught us to pray in cooperation, in what we know as the Lord's Prayer. As we pray, your kingdom come, your work be done, as Jesus has taught us, we are saying as Mary did, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, May it be done to me according to your word. In a moment, I'm going to ask that we stand and say the Lord's Prayer together. And then when we're done with the Lord's Prayer, we're going to go ahead and get into small groups and pray again this week like we did last week. I think this will be a practice that you'll find familiar over this Advent season. As we close out 2019 and our focus on prayer, of course, we're going to never stop praying, but an intent focus on prayer. It seems appropriate, having started our year with a series on prayer, that we end our time with a really purposeful focus on prayer. And there's things that I would like us to focus on today as we're praying, especially in light of the peace of Jesus Christ. I would like us to pray for God's peace. I would like us to pray for hearts within ourselves of cooperation with God's will. Not always an easy prayer. One that God will answer. So I just want to say beware when you choose to pray this. And also pray for his kingdom to be expanded on earth. Will you stand with me now as we recite the Lord's Prayer? And then we'll get into groups of four or five and spend a few minutes praying. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Great and mighty, and we love you so fully with our hearts. And it's only a fraction of how much you love us. So God, take this small offering that we can give to you and bless it, Lord God, so that your kingdom's work can be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.